Epilogue. A few months later, Johnny heard that the government in Scotland was going to introduce taxation in order to rebuild Edinburgh. He knew that taxation had been unknown in the earliest days of the Scottish nation. The king had just paid for everything way back then, and he doubted Scotland had the resources to do it. Also, he felt a taxation as a government way of life was a sort of silly business. Couldn't a government earn its keep? Why did it have to go around robbing people? So he talked to Donaldin and got him to sell the idea to the chief of Clanfergus that Edinburgh would be rebuilt by contributions. To foster the illusion that the Scottish people were paying for it, he and Donaldin put little red boxes along trails where Scots could drop in small coins, and they even emptied some of them. But what really happened was that Johnny paid for it. He sent in his Chatoverian construction company, Buildstrong Incorporated. They had finished all the industrial requirements at Luxembourg and banking requirements at Zurich anyway. The Chatoverians, being Chatoverians, sent a research team all around Scotland and the government to find out what people wanted at Edinburgh, and then went on and did what they thought was right, regardless. They decided Edinburgh would be in three businesses: planetary government, extraterrestrial training, and Scottish handicraft. It was a real headache to them to reconcile such divergent actions into architecture, which they always maintained must be A, indigenous, and B, suitable for the purpose. The city itself, their research team found, had once been nicknamed Auld Reekie because it smelled so bad. They also found no Scot had lived in it for 1,100 years. This gave them a totally free hand. They rammed down everything except Castle Rock. They got several Highland hydroelectric plants back in operation rapidly, and then called in their companion company, Desperation Defense, and had them make their installations and emplacements. They then put in sewer systems and filtration plants, and then they rubbed their hands and really got to work. They put the northern section of the town into industrial for business and handicrafts, and gave it the overall look and landscaping of stone cottages, such as the Scots were used to in the Highlands. They sweepingly planned out a large number of specialty schools. Outside, they were all Scottish baronial with the little projecting turrets, castles right out of the old fairy tale books. But the whole of the interiors were adapted to extraterrestrial living. They spread these all over the terrain with big parks. Castle Rock itself, they saved for government. It had been so battered and fractured, they had to get early engravings of it to see how to shape it. Shaping and armoring rock was no problem to the Chatoverians, but what it had been like a couple thousand years ago was. They got an indication that a castle of an early Scottish king, Duncan, who apparently had been killed by Macbeth, had stood there. Where they got this was a mystery. Somebody said an old play they had found in the wreckage of the British Museum. They reassembled the rock, rebuilt its interior shelters, covered the whole thing with blue Italian marble, got it all armor hard and glowing, and then put Duncan's castle on it in gleaming white. They found a cathedral they liked in an ancient city called Reims that they said agreed with the architecture of the castle, and put it up on the rock in shimmering scarlet and called it St. Giles again. The Scots were enraptured with the result of what they had financed. Johnny thought it looked pretty good too, but it did produce a problem. The Chatoverians, being overpopulated at home, always overhired, and as this job had been rush and for the boss himself, they had accumulated a very huge crew. They also had a policy that you never fired anybody, ever. It left him with a swollen city-building team almost the size of Earth's entire population. So he put them to work rebuilding the cities the visitors had burned.